Hey, I'm DJ Bennett from Kill Radio and the news team. This is the weekly news in review, but this week is also an election guide because next Tuesday, November 2nd, is the midterm 2010 election. So no what's the harm this week, no Jenny McCarthy this week, just news and election guide. The news comes from the Harpers.org website. This was posted by Justin Stone on the 26th of October, 2010. I get it as an email. You can get it, too, by going to Harpers.org. This is the news of the preceding week. But it doesn't cover everything. For instance, it doesn't cover Justice Clarence Thomas's wife drunk dialing Anita Hill to ask her to apologize for what she did 19 years ago. Basically, there was an implication in what she said that was further justified last night because I saw this woman who was identified as another girlfriend of Justice Thomas's on the Larry King show last night on CNN. And basically, what is suggested, though not officially stated, was that Anita Hill and Justice Thomas had a thing of some kind, okay? Justice Thomas's wife seems to be thinking that Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas had an affair, and she then, because she was rejected by Thomas, that's why she came forward and said the things that she did, the so-called high-tech lynching that Thomas said. Now, the whole thing is pretty ugly, but in fact, Anita Hill, well, she denies that there was any kind of relationship, and maybe that's true. But Anita Hill was dragged in front of the Senate hearings against her will. She works at Brandeis University, and when she received this phone call, which I think came in last Saturday morning or a week ago Saturday morning at around 7:30 a.m., which is why we kind of think this was drunk dialing, she didn't know whether it was a serious phone call asking for her to apologize, so she turned it over to the Brandeis authorities. They, in turn, considered it a potential threat, so they contacted the FBI. Meanwhile, Ms. Hill then contacted the New York Times about it. Okay. Now, Clarence Thomas, as far as I'm concerned, is about as big a hypocrite as there possibly could be, because he was advanced totally without merit. The man had never served as an actual judge before he was put on the Supreme Court. So he's part of the hugely embarrassing Supreme Court that is totally conservative. I would like to see Clarence Thomas kicked off the Supreme Court. I think he's a terrible man, and I believe that he did the things that Anita Hill accused him of. And I do think that by her description of him asking her out over and over again, which she wouldn't do, and so he started saying things about long dong silver and there's a pubic hair on my Coke can, that was a hostile environment. So I think she did the right thing by bringing it forward. The fact that nobody in Congress or the Senate wanted to listen to her shows what sexist bastards those people were. That was a really interesting time. At that particular time, I was working as a messenger in New York City, and I was listening to the hearings on my Walkman, and every single place I went to, every household that I visited during that week, were watching the hearings on television. So it seemed that we were all of one consciousness back in 91 regarding this. So it was a very fascinating experience. But, you know, in the long run, we were given Clarence Thomas as a justice on the Supreme Court, a supreme embarrassment, and the man does not have the qualifications to be there, should not be there, should be kicked off the Supreme Court, and basically any decision that he's invested in the past 19 years should be reviewed and his judgment should be thrown out. Yes, Clarence Thomas is what I would call a hypocrite and a scumbag. Okay, high-tech lynching. Fuck you, asshole. All right, so that's sad, but that's part of the news, and yet it's not mentioned here. Anyway, so this is the news of the preceding week. WikiLeaks released 391,832 U.S. Army-Iraq War field reports. That's a lot. The documents revealed the rampant burning, lashing, and execution of detainees by Iraqi army and police officers, U.S. suspicions that Shiite Iraqi militants were being trained by Iran, the increasing reliance on private contractors to augment the dwindling ranks of soldiers, and approximately 15,000 previously unreported civilian casualties. This is all classified secret information never designed to be exposed to the public, said Pentagon Press Secretary Jeff Morrell. Now you will have virtually 500,000 classified secret documents in the public domain, which our enemies clearly intend to use against us. You bastards make the enemies. Instead of declaring what happened as crimes, you call it a war so that you can cover up and put your top secret shit on top of it. Scumbags. WikiLeaks editor-in-chief Julian Assange, who was denied Swedish residency for undisclosed reasons, rejected the claim that this was something about our enemies. The Pentagon cannot find a single person that has been harmed as a result of the leaking last July of classified documents relating to U.S. operations in Afghanistan, he said. Meanwhile, gunmen interrupted a party in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, and killed 13 people, all of whom were under 25. And the Juarez Valley town of Praxedis, Guadalupe Guerrero, where 8 residents were murdered in the past 2 weeks, swore in its new police chief, 20-year-old college student Marisol Valles Garcia, who was the only candidate willing to accept the job. We're all afraid in Mexico now, she said. We can't let fear beat us. An unemployed security worker from won Spain's first siesta championship. Oh, there's a good one. Who can sleep the best? Despite the efforts of over 1 million protesters who caused the cancellations of thousands of trains, hundreds of flights, and 2 Lady Gaga concerts, the French Senate voted in favor of a pension reform measure that would raise the age of retirement from 60 to 62. The European Commission declined to take France to court over its recent expulsion of 8,000 Roma, but threatened to impose sanctions on Italy if the country fails to remove piles of trash accumulating in the streets of Naples. Irish police were investigating the alleged death of a wallaby from alcohol and ecstasy poisoning while at a birthday party. And the Exmoor Emperor, the largest known wild animal in Britain, was shot dead in the West Country. Investigators determined that a plane crash last August in Congo was caused by the escape of a crocodile that had been smuggled aboard and had then frightened passengers who stampeded toward the cockpit, resulting in the deaths of 19 people, but not the crocodile. Scientists concluded that elephants are ecological engineers and that tigers face extinction within 12 years. Google and the Israel Antiquities Authority declared their intention to digitize the Dead Sea Scrolls. Rent is too damn high. Gubernatorial candidate Jimmy McMillan was revealed not to pay rent. Senator Harry Reid indicated that he has never had to prove his manhood. And New Jersey Republican congressional nominee John Runyon, asked to name a recent Supreme Court decision he finds disagreeable, chose Dred Scott. And that's not even recent. Following the arrest in Vancouver on the charge of squatting in the guest house of a home they once owned, actor Randy Quaid and his wife Evie sought Canadian refugee status. We feel our lives are in danger, said nutcase Evie Quaid, pointing to the suspicious deaths of her husband's friends David Carradine and Heath Ledger. Randy Quaid is not Heath Ledger. This is nuts. Egypt banned police from university campuses, and the International Zombie Walk celebrated its 9th year. A German chapter of the Mongols Motorcycle Club prepared for war with the Hell's Angels. Haiti was found to be at risk of yet another big earthquake, and its hospitals were overwhelmed after an outbreak of cholera, forcing hundreds of patients to be treated in the parking lots. Sherpa Shuang Nima, who has climbed Mount Everest 19 times, went missing after an avalanche. And the Dalai Lama guest edited the Toronto Star. Bob Guccione, the founder of Penthouse, died, as did Johnny Sheffield, the actor who played Boy, Tarzan's son, in the 30s and 40s movies. He died several hours after he fell while pruning a palm tree. Watch out for them palm trees. 11 people jumped from a third-floor window in France after a naked African man was mistaken for Satan. I had to defend myself, said one man who jumped with a 2-year-old in his arms. Meanwhile, in Syria, a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old got engaged. Okay, using former Kill Radio person and people who do that star and Green Party candidate Derek Iverson's general election recommendations. Derek has been doing recommendations for years, and his recommendations are always handy and very useful. I've decided to share them with the Kill Radio audience, adding some of my own comments. Derek is a Green Party guy, and he recommends the Green Party for governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, controller, treasurer, attorney general, and insurance commissioner. I think that the situation in the gubernatorial race and the Senate race are both important enough that I'm not going to follow Derek's recommendations, even though I like the Green Party. And his point is well taken. Thanks to Proposition 14, which passed last June, you won't be seeing Greens on the ballot as much anymore. Proposition 14 restricts candidates who appear on the general election ballot to only the top two vote-getters. So that means it'll just be the Democrats and the Republicans, right? So this is unfair and wrong, but how many of you voted last June? I'll bet literally none of you voted last June, right? Am I right? Wow. So I'm going to recommend, personally, I'm going to recommend voting for Jerry Brown. Now, I know that Jerry Brown has been governor before, and he's a long-held political person in the state of California. To some people, that's a bad thing. But I think that Meg Whitman is a supreme example of what's wrong with the political system, since she's put as much as $140 million out of her fortune, which she got from eBay and other crappy places, just in an effort to become governor. And she wants to act as though she stands outside everything, but as a recent Jerry Brown ad shows, she's just literally a copy of the things about Schwarzenegger that you don't like. And I think Schwarzenegger is a better governor than Meg Whitman would ever be. I don't like Meg Whitman. I don't like the way she comes up on things. And from the gubernatorial debate with Jerry, where it was brought up the issue of her illegal house cleaner, who was in her house for 9 years, and she claimed that she didn't know that she was an illegal, that this house cleaner had somehow tricked the employment agency that Meg used to get the woman in the house. All of that may be true, but Jerry Brown cut her to the quick when he said, well, why didn't you hire her a lawyer? Instead of just firing her, because after all, she was supposed to be part of the family, why didn't the billionaire get her an attorney? Okay. No, she just fired her. This is the kind of attitude. It's a fascist attitude that billionaires have, that they just throw people away when they're not of any use anymore. And this is why we don't want Meg Whitman. So as cool as Laura Wells, the Green Party candidate, might be, and it would be great if we could actually have a Green Party governor, the fact is that if you vote for the Green Party, you're probably going to be just throwing the vote towards Meg. So I say, I'm sorry, Derek, nothing personal, but I say you got to vote for Jerry Brown. Same thing with Barbara Boxer. Now, I know that things in Sacramento are not the best, and we haven't been able to get a budget and all that. And I don't know that Barbara Boxer's a help, but she's a hell of a lot better than another scumbag millionaire from the dot-com world like Carly Fiorini, who, of course, is supported by Sarah Palin and people like that. So I say vote for Barbara Boxer. I mean, it might even be a matter of holding your nose and voting for Barbara Boxer. But let's not put somebody in office who has already seen fit to keep a lot of personal money and throw a bunch of jobs overseas, to outsource the jobs, okay? This is somebody who's going to be good for California? No, wrong. Now we get to the ballot measures. That's the most interesting, and I'm going to share some of the things that Derek says, because I pretty much agree with, in fact, I do agree with everything he says regarding the ballot measures. Prop 19, allow people age 21 or older to grow or to have small quantities of marijuana for personal use. This is a yes, all right? It does appear that right now, because of the stupidity of the masses in California, that this proposition will not pass. And they're going to lie to you and say, oh, marijuana is already decriminalized. In fact, it has been technically decriminalized since 1979. It's not something new. Schwarzenegger didn't do it, okay? It's been around for a long time. But decriminalized just means that you get a major fine. In 1999, I was stopped by the police, and they found a tiny amount of very cheap marijuana on me. Okay, that I actually had to give to a friend who was dying of cancer. Literally, this is absolutely true. In fact, he had already died, and that's why it was still in my bag. I'd forgotten about it. The police found this, and I went to court over this tiny amount of crappy marijuana. In court, the person representing the prosecution came over and said, look, this is just a $100 fine. And I said, all right, then I'll plead no contest. And I did. And the judge fined me $100 and then tacked a $300 fee on top of it. So it was a $400 fine. If I'd have known it was going to be $400, I would have said no. But I was lied to because they want to make as much bloody money as possible. Okay? So I want to see people in this state treated like adults, all right? I'm sick of the people who are telling us that, oh, yeah, the potheads, they want this because all they want to do is smoke pot all the time, and they're all stupid because they're potheads. This again, it's a fascist attitude by right-wingers that the only people who are interested in marijuana are already criminals, they're lazy, and they're so confused they don't even know how to vote. Okay, all of which is nonsense and crap. Okay, treat us like adults. So I say vote yes on Proposition 19, allowing marijuana. For one thing, it's never happened before. We've never been able to legalize marijuana before, and I'm not talking about medical marijuana. I'm talking about real use by adults who feel like they want to use it. Okay, it's simply marijuana has been demonstrated to be less harmful than tobacco or alcohol. All right. People die every day because they smoke cigarettes. People get in car crashes every day because they're drunk on alcohol. Show me one case where somebody has died because of marijuana that can be proven to have died because of marijuana. Nobody has died of cancer because they smoke marijuana. Nobody has gotten in a car accident. There actually have been tests done where people have driven better than being straight when they were high on pot. Okay? So, plus, we won't be throwing as many people into prison, and we'll gain substantial income from taxing this stuff. It's all a win-win circumstance. But, of course, the moralists, the religious assholes, the people who think that it's wrong for people to think differently, they're the ones that are going to go down. And as it stands right now, it's 51% against and 39% for. All right? So it doesn't look like it's going to pass, which is just so drearily sad. But that's the way it is. All right? Now, Proposition 20. Move the job of drawing congressional district maps every 10 years from the legislature to the Citizens Redistricting Commission. I say no on this, okay? A Citizens Redistricting Commission sounds great until you think, well, who makes up this commission? How will the positions be doled out? Will it be susceptible for rigging by powered money interests? And yes, it will. Yes, it will. Because once again, we hire an electorate to do things like this for us. And yet we want to make up propositions that take the authority away from the people that we've hired to do it. Okay? We want to change the laws again. So no on Proposition 20. Proposition 21. Charge car owners an extra $18 on their annual registration bill. The money collected would go into a special fund to be used for state parks and wildlife programs. Trailers and commercial vehicles would not be charged the $18. Cars that pay the extra charge would have free admission and day use parking of all state parks. All right, it really annoys me when I've gone around the state, driven around the state, and I have to pay money to enter a state park. So the idea of an $18 fee that removes that fee, an $18 additional thing on my license when I register my car, would remove this fee from all state parks, that's not such a bad idea. So I say yes. I say yes, do it. Yes, I know, as it is now, our registration bills on a yearly basis get higher every year, and here's another $18 add to it. So suddenly, car registrations, which 20 years ago used to be like $25, are now going to be $120 or something like that. All right, and of course, it doesn't, you know, we have some of the worst roads in the country in California because we live in salt lands, and when it rains and the dryness and the desert and all that, the roads are constantly, you know, being needed to be redone. Nothing's being done about that, but I don't mind the $18. Besides, I don't even have a car right now, so it doesn't really hurt me. Proposition 22, reduce state control over how certain transportation or local government money can be used. We elect people to the state legislature to represent our interests, but through the ballot initiative process, then we place all kinds of limits on their ability to operate on our behalf. So I say no. No on Proposition 22. Don't tell the legislature how they can do their jobs. Don't order them to think differently. Okay? So Proposition 22 gets a no. Proposition 23, suspend state rules for reducing greenhouse gases to meet AB 32 goals until the unemployment rate in California drops to 5.5% for 1 year. Since that's not expected for many years, AB 32 would not likely go back into effect for a long time. During the suspension, the state could not adopt or enforce AB 32 regulations. This is the worst proposition on the ballot. We have to defeat this. This was paid for by oil interests, and it essentially wants us to remove any restrictions on what greenhouse gases can be released by oil companies. So it's pretty dirty. This is a really dirty proposition. So there's a no on Proposition 23. Oil and coal companies should pay more, not less. Proposition 24, undo, i.e. repeal, the recent changes in business tax laws that allow some businesses to pay less income tax. All businesses would pay income tax based on the rules in effect before those tax law changes. I think businesses need to be responsible citizens, if that is how they want to be thought, and they should pay their fair share as members of our community, just as we do. So vote yes. Let's undo the recent changes in the business tax laws. Proposition 25. lower the vote needed to pass the state budget from the current two-thirds to a majority, 50% plus one. State lawmakers would permanently lose salary plus living and travel expenses for every day the budget was late. Proposition 25 does not change the two-thirds vote required for lawmakers to raise taxes. This will help reduce gridlock in Sacramento substantially and get the state moving forward with a budget instead of getting stalled in the perennial budget crisis. So that's a yes. Vote yes on Proposition 25. Lower the vote needed to pass the state budget. Proposition 26, treat many state and local fees as taxes, requiring a two-thirds vote of lawmakers or local voters for the fee to go into effect. This is a no. The types of fees that are affected by Prop 26 are imposed to address health, environmental, or economic concerns, and so they're kind of important. This is another effort to take discretionary power away from the people that we have elected to represent us, and to make it more difficult to protect public safety and the interests of consumers. The same folks that like Proposition 23 like this. No! Do not treat state and local fees as taxes. Proposition 26 is a no. Proposition 27. This position eliminates the Citizens Redistricting Commission and gives authority for drawing state districts back to the legislature. Some of the guidelines introduced by Prop 11 of 2008 would also be eliminated. For instance, lawmakers would not be prohibited from drawing district lines that favor a candidate or a political party. I think you should vote yes on this and eliminate the Citizens Redistricting Commission and unhamper our legislature from doing their job. I never know what to say about the judges because who knows anything about them. So Derek spoke with Jackie Goldberg, and she recommends in Office 28 Mark K. Amelia, in Office 117 Alan Schneider, and the Los Angeles County Assessor to be John R. Noguez. N-O-G-U-E-Z. Noguez. Okay, I have shared with you election recommendations and the weekly news and review. Listen to my music show. I'm DJ Bennett on Friday nights here on Kill Radio called The Chill Room. And if you go to the Kill Radio podcast page on our website, you will also find a thing called The Birds Show, which I would like all of you to spend some time with, too. Okay? So it's been a long one today. I hope you're having a good day. Thank you for listening. And in the meantime, you can just stay tuned. Okay? Bye.